Bottom of 5b of Hey Amud Beis, and we were just talking about the non-Jews chametz on your property. So we had just said, if you remember our discussion yesterday morning, we had said that the people in Mechoza who had to get rid of their chametz, right? Rava says to them, you have to get rid of the chametz which belongs to the soldiers from the non-Jews who you have to keep, because you based on the fact that you have to protect the chametz, you have to guard, you have to take responsibility for it. So based on that, you have somewhat of an ownership over it, and therefore it's as if it's yours to the extent that you have to get rid of it. Okay, that's kedilachon dami va'aser. And now the Gemara says, say, ha, nichol manta amar davar goreim limamon kimamon dami. That makes sense according to the opinion in Baba Kama, that anything that causes a potential loss of money is as if it's your own money, right? Davar hagoreim lemamon causes a consequence of money. Kimamon dami, it's as if it's money, even if right now it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't cost you anything. That makes sense according to this concept that the soldiers would beget an ownership of that chametz. El lemamon damar lav kimamon dami. So ma'ikol meimar. According to the opinion that something which can only in potential cause consequence of money is not considered money. So ma'iklam emar, why would it be a problem for them to have the soldiers' chametz? There's no shani hacha to amar lo yimatze. In our case, everything's different. The pasuk doesn't say lo kone. The pasuk doesn't say lo nikne. The pasuk is specifically lo yimatze. It should not be found, and therefore we have a more liberal definition of what it means to find chametz on your property. It would include even those who only in potential can cause you money. Even according to that opinion, who typically says that the causation or the consequence of money does not make money. In this case, it wouldn't necessarily be considered money, but it would be considered owned enough. It would be your property enough to assume that you'd be over the issur of chametz, or at least all you might say. Yeah, Leonard?
Yeah, Art Scroll has an interesting comment. It says lo yimatze, it doesn't say lo yimatze lacha. So the fact that it's not...
Okay.
The fact that you don't have any responsibility for it doesn't really make any difference.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, Rashi doesn't say that, but I'm sure they got it from somewhere.
Yeah, they don't say where they got it from, but it's interesting because if you're going to learn it that way, then even if it's totally the guy's chametz,
right?
You know, like when we sell our chametz, it's
right,
still
right,
be a problem.
Right. We talked about that yesterday in Shir about to what category does a sold chametz fall into. We're going to see it again in this daf. So let's keep going. Iga de Amri. Sorry. Iga de Amri ha nichalam. Another way to say the same exact machlokas. There's some who remember it happening like this. That's why we need the pasuk to specifically phrase it in the words lo yimatze, top of the daf. But according elamanda amar kamamandami, according to the opinion that says it's as if it's already your money. So then lo yimatze lamali, why do we need that pasuk? It's as if it's yours. So if it's as if it's yours, so it's like any other chametz, why do we need the pasuk to specifically say the word lo yimatze? So it's rich, maybe you still need it. When you still have protection over, you guarded it well, and now you're going to give it back. And you're going to give it back in the same exact way, the same exact cookies, the same exact crackers, the same exact way that they were when you originally got them. Now you're giving them back in the same exact way. And therefore, it's as if you never had them retroactively. Kamash Malan. Meaning maybe for the time being you look at it as kamamon dami, but when you give it back, it's not going to be kamamon dami. It's as if you've already gotten rid of it. There's no time where you actually owned it retroactively. Kamash Malan, no, even if that were the case, even if you gave it back in the exact same way that you got it, it would still be considered a violation of lo yimatze because it was with you technically. Ba'omine Mareva, they asked of Rava, same person who told this to Mechoza, what about Behemas Arnona? Arnona, I believe, is a city in Israel, but that's not what it's referring to here. Arnona is a reference to, Rashi says, Hamelach notel isor min habehema u min hatvua. The king would come along, in some secular provinces, I assume, and he would say, your tenth animal belongs to me as a tax. That it's a specific type of arnona, a specific type of royal tax. So the question is, chayeves bevechora or ein chayeves bevechora? I find this kind of discussion fascinating in terms of defining ownership. So the king says, your tenth animal belongs to me, right? It's basically a tax that goes to me. So if that's the case, we know the rule Rashi tells us, that the Gemara tells us, or the Pasuk tells us, li kol bechor b'Yisrael, aval lo b'acherim. If the Jewish people have firstborn, so then that belongs to Hashem. You bring it as kachim. If, however, a non-Jew owns that animal, so then it wouldn't be. Only the Jewish person's animal would be chayv in the bechor. So the question is, what about arnona? What about an animal which the king says you have to pay to him as a tax? Is that as if the king has ownership over it, and therefore we're not chayv in bechora? Or is it as if it's ours, and then we have to give it to the king, and therefore it's still chayv in bechora? So Gemara says, kol hechad matzi misalik lebezuze, anytime you can buy off the king and say, here's some money, let me keep my animal, so lo kol mibayalei dechayev. When that's not a question, because if you can buy it off, so then you got to pay for it, assuming it's not at least one-fifth of your money, which is a different sugya about paying too much for your money, so to pay too much for your mitzvos. So here, assuming you'd be able to pay it off, so then of course you'd be chayev as a bechora. Pay the king what he wants, buy him out, and now it's your animal. However, when do we have the question? When you can't pay the king off, the king says, no, it's mine without any exception. So my, what's the case there? What's the halacha there? Amar lahu patura. He says you'd still be pater, you'd be pater in that case, because the king does, in fact, have enough ownership that it's not considered like yours, that you have to give it to that you have to give it to kachim. So Gemara says, wait a second, v'atayne chayaves. There's another brisa that says that you have to do it. So hasam debatsim salik lay. That's the case where you could buy him out. When that brisa says you'd be chayav in an arnona case, it's because you could buy him out. And therefore, if you can buy him out, you have the responsibility to, and give the animal to kachim. So ik da amri amarava. Another way this machlokas went down, behemas arnona b'tur min habechora. Arnona is pater, because the king owns it, partially, which is enough for arnona. V'yaf agav da matzim asalik lay, and even if you're able to get it, to buy him out, You'd be pater to do it, even if you could buy him out. We're not going to make you do both, because just the king's ownership, the original ownership, the partial ownership from the beginning, is enough to say that you're not chayev, and it's enough to say that he's basically the partner in that animal. What about isas arnona? Isas arnona, the dough of arnona, the tax that the king says, you got to give me your dough. Not really sure how efficient that is, but either way, isas arnona chayavis b'chala, you still chayav to take chala, even though it doesn't belong to you partially. V'af gav to lo matzim misalikle, even in a case where you can't get rid of the king's tax, you still have to take chala. Not exactly sure how that works. How do you, somehow you're going to have to replace the dough. I don't know. I don't exactly know how it works.
Well, you can take chala from another dough. I mean, if he...
Well, I guess it depends on what the tax is. If the tax is that you'd have to take out, I don't know, you have to give him all the dough you make on a certain day, so then it's hard to do. But if it's a tax, like, you have to give a certain amount of dough, so then, yeah, you're right. You could make a big vat of dough, bigger than you usually make, give some of it to the king, and then take some for yourself. Yeah, it depends, I guess, what the tax is. So Gemara says, my time, what's the difference? When it came to the animal, we're completely pater. Or at least according to one man, to Amar, we're completely pater. When it comes to the dough, we're always chayev. So which one? So why is there a difference? The Gemara says, "Behem is lekala, isale is lekala." It's all about what sounds like. Usually, when the Gemara uses this phrase, it sounds like a maris ayin issue. Is lekala means everybody's going to know that the king took your ox, right? The king took your big animal. That's a big deal. That makes waves. The animals aren't cheap, and therefore, when the king comes and takes your animal, everybody's going to know about it. And therefore, we're not going to say that this guy is still required to take the bechora from his flock, lest people think that he didn't do it, because everybody knows the king took that one. Aval, but Isa, when it comes to dough, so no one's really aware of somebody's dough. It might be a staple of people's diets back then, but no one really is aware. It's not that big of a deal when he takes the dough. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learns, Goy shenichnas l'chatzir shel Yisrael v'tzeiko u'v'tzeiko b'yado ein zakuk l'vayer. A non-Jew who comes into the courtyard of a Jew and he's got his dough in his hands, which is an interesting phrase because, as we'll see, dough is not necessarily chametz. How much it's baked is going to be what makes a chametz. But either way, ein zakuk l'vayer. You do not have to get rid of it because it's not yours. However, hifkido etzlo zak levar. If he entrusts it with you, right, it becomes some kind of collateral or something like that. Or even if it's not collateral, if he's just giving it to you so that you can hold on to it, so then you are responsible for it. You have to get rid of it. Yichid lo bias, however, if you put it in a specific spot, the guy gave you something and you put it in a specific spot where it's completely his and it's covered, ein zakuk levar, you don't have to get rid of it. Why? Shnemar lo yimatzei. The pasuk says it shall not be found, and this is something which is covered, and it's not findable. At least it's not clear and visible to everybody. Okay, so the Gemara says, "My kamar, what are you saying?" Amar of Papa, right? When it says at the end, "Shenamar lo yimatze." So what's the pasuk teaching us? Is it teaching us the resha being the beginning part being if the non-Jew comes into your house and he's holding it and hefkido etzlo, you'd have to get rid of it. That's because the pasuk says laimatze. Or is it saying that when you have a separate house for the chametz, so then you're not chayev because it says laimatze and you can't find it. So my kamar amar papa, our resha kairil is going on in the first part of hachem. This is what it means to say hifkiru etzlo zak levar shneamar laimatze. If someone entrusts you with their chametz, non-Jew trusts with your chametz, you still have to get rid of it because it's laimatze and this is yimatze. This is nimtza in your house. Rav Ashi amar lo olam asefa kairil, going on the second part. Vahachim kamar yichei lo bias ein zak levar. If you put the dough in a specific spot in your house, you don't have to get rid of it. It says it shouldn't be found in your house. This house is not belonging to you. This little portion, this little spot is not yours. This is, in fact, what we do on our Mechiras Chametz forms, right? We don't tell you that the Chametz is sold to the non-Jew. We tell you not only is the Chametz sold, but every place where the Chametz is, that specific spot is sold to the non-Jew. And therefore, lo yimatzei b'batechem, it's not your house. That little spot is not your house because you sold it. You sold that spot also to the non-Jew.
Does the form say that we have no responsibility if it's lost somehow?
So we talked about this yesterday. It doesn't say it explicitly, but presumably this one at least outdoes that one, right? We talked about this yesterday. It doesn't say anything about responsibility, but it does say, hold on. The storage of the belongings in these locations for the duration of the time. Yeah, I believe that's part of the discussion. So the difference would be, like we said yesterday, the difference, or at least the beginning of today, if you would have chametz which you're responsible for, but it's in your house and it's on your property, so then you'd be chayav for it. But if you have chametz of a non-Jew which is in your house, but it's technically in a place which belongs to the non-Jew, so then you're not even chayav, even if you're responsible for that chametz. And then, or at least not responsible, but you'd have financial consequences for losing it. But the fact that it's in a specific spot means that it's not your responsibility in terms of getting rid of it. So the Gemara says, and this is not him, he's going into his own house when he comes to get his chametz. So Gemara says, wait a second, you're going to tell me that renting makes it acquired for the non-Jew. Doesn't the Braisa say, there's a whole discussion about whether you can sell a certain place in, it says here in Syria, it says you can't sell a place to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but in Syria you could. You can sell to non-Jews, especially if it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. And even when they said that, they said this Gemara, that af makom sh'amar lahaskir, even those places, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael that you said you could sell to a non-Jew, or the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael that you could say you could sell to a non-Jew, you can't sell it to them for the sake of living in, because they're going to do avodah zarah in that house, and therefore you'd still be responsible for any avodah zarah that happens in that house, even though it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to tell me that renting out a house is considered like it's their property, if they're going to have their avodah zarah in there, so what's the matter? It's not your house. It's considered like that. It's considered like theirs. So Gemara says, no, shani hacha. In our case, by chametz, it's completely different. The Gemara tells us, the Torah says specifically, lo yimatzei, it should not be found in your house. It doesn't mean that you necessarily own it, but it means that it shouldn't be found. Mi shematzo biyadcha, someone who is found, or here in the case of this, it says that, mi shematzo biyadcha usually means who is in your hand, but I guess here it's referring to any chametz which is found in your possession, under your jurisdiction, under your spots in the house that belong to you, it's not in your possession. Okay. Either way, there's an exceptional quality based on the words lo yimatzei, as opposed to ownership, like the avodah zarah case in Syria. This is a case where it goes beyond just ownership and it comes to actual possession or in your property.
If you were to rely entirely on bittul chametz,
yeah,
and not sell it, you would still maybe have a problem here with it being found in your house. If it's in your house.
Yeah, so the Gemara is going to talk about that in a little bit. The truth is, and the truth is, you're right on the daraisa level. You're right on the daraisa level that bittul chametz gets rid of everything. But I think midrabanan we would mechayev you to still get rid of it, or at least to section it off. So the Gemara is going to say, I think the Gemara is going to talk about that right now. Here, if you see here, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hamotzi chametz v'vesa b'yom tov. Let's say you find chametz in your house. Kofa lavas hakli. So you cover it with some kind of vessel. So Amar Rav im shel hekdesh hu eino tzarech. If it's a hekdesh chametz, you don't have to. My time, amidav gadol bedili minei. Technically, if it's in your house, you don't have to worry about it because we're not worried that you're going to come to eat kachim. We're worried that you're going to come to eat regular chametz that's found in your house, but not kachim chametz. You'd be badil mina, you'd be separated from it. However, continuing on, v'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, chametzo shel goy, if there's a non-Jew's chametz in your house, so what do you do? Right, as David said, this should be a problem. Also, l'mechitza asar tzvach mishum heker. You should at least make a wall which is tall enough that it's distinguished from your property, to make it so that you're not going to come to eat it. And if it's from hekdesh, you don't have to. My time, again, you're going to be separating from it. Rav Yehuda amar Rav, hamefarish vayetzu b'shayara. So this is a different case. In terms of the Gemara is going to talk about bittul later on in the daf. To getting back to what David said, but Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Hamefarish VaHayotu B'Shayara Kodim Shloshim Yom. Anyone who's going out on a trip before 30 days away from Yontif, so Ein Zachuk Levar, you do not have to get rid of the Rechametz. Toch Shloshim Yom Zachuk Levar. If it's within 30 days, so then you have to get rid of it. So Gemara says, wait a second. Amar Abaye Hadamar Toch Shloshim Yom Zachuk Levar Lo Amar El Shadach Lachzor. The only time that you said that it's within 30 days, you still have to be Zachuk Levar. You still have to get rid of it is because you have the intention of coming back. About Ein Datu Achzor, Ein Zakel Levar, says Abaye, if you don't have any intention of coming back, even within 30 days, so then you don't have to get rid of that chametz. So Rav says, wait a second. Amar Le Rava, Rava says to Abaye, V'i Datu Achzor, if your intention is to come back to the house, so Afil Mirosh Hashanah Nami, what does 30 days have to do with anything? I don't care how long ago you left your house. If you're coming back before Pesach, so you got to get rid of the chametz. Your intention is to come back for Pesach, so then you'd have to get rid of the chametz no matter when you left.
I think it's talking about you're planning on coming back on Chol Hamoed, because if you're planning on coming back before Pesach, you can do your biur when you come back at the proper time.
Rashi says, "I feel Rosh Hashanami tichi hader be bimei haPesach avra aleha." Hold on. I'm not sure. Sepharius, for some reason, translates this as if you intends to return home shortly before the festival. So she has to get rid of it. Rashi does sound like that a little bit. T'chi hadar be bimei ha-pesach avar aleha. V'yishaysa lo lav yirshusei hi t'livatle. At the time where you get to get rid of it, you can just do so with bittel. Not 100% sure.
If I leave Rosh Hashanah and I'm going to come back Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. Just do it then. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Let me see here. Let me see how. Hold on. I'm the Rebbe of Idat or Lachzor. I feel Rosh Hananami. Yeah, this also says Besocha Pesach. So I don't know why Safari says it otherwise. Either way, so El Amar Rava. So Rav has to clarify himself, right? The fact that you're coming back if on Pesach means that you have to get rid of it no matter where you are, no matter when you left. When we said if you left before 30 days, the only time that you don't have a responsibility to get rid of your chametz beforehand is when you don't have intention to come back. If you're coming back, your intention is to come back, so you always have to get rid of the chametz no matter when you left. This according to Rav always. If you make your house into a storage room and you cleared it out, if you made it into an otzar, you still have to get rid of it. But if it did it beforehand, beforehand you'd have to get rid of it, but if you did so earlier than 30 days before, so then you don't have to get rid of it because it's as if it's mevuar already based on the fact that you completely made the chametz unusable. I assume that's what it means. Rashi sounds like that a little bit. V'kodim shloshim na'ami, so Gemara says, and also furthermore, if it was before 30 days that you made it into an otzar, you made it into some kind of storage room, lo armon ela she'en da'atu lefanoso. That's only the case if you don't plan on clearing it out. About Dato Lefanoso, if you plan on clearing it out, I feel Kodim Shloshim Na'ami Zaku Levar, even before 30 days, you'd have to get rid of it, just like Dato Lachzor. If Dato Lefanoso, if your intention is to clean out, do some spring cleaning in your storage room, so then that also would require you to get rid of the chametz before you do so. So Hani Shloshim Yom Ma'avi Detayu. So the Gemara says, what? Where do you get this 30 days from? You know, you came out, you know, out of nowhere. Where's 30 days based on? So Gemara says, very important halacha, kidetanya. Sho'alin v'darshin mehilchos ha-Pesach konam Pesach shloshim yom. We have an obligation to learn the halachos of Pesach. We teach this about all yantifs also, unclear to what extent. But you have a chiyuv to learn hilchos ha-Pesach konam ha-Pesach shloshim yom. 30 days before the yantif, you have to start learning the halachos so you know what to do when the yantif comes. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Shnei Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's got to be 2 weeks worth. My time is the Tanakama. What's the reason of the Tanakama that says you have to do it a whole 30 days beforehand? So Gemara says on top of the Amud Beis, Shahari Moshe Omer Pesach Rishon. Moshe stood at Pesach Rishon, teaching the Jewish people about Pesach, teaching about the Karb Pesach. Mazir al Pesach Sheni, and he talks about Pesach Sheni. You have to do Pesach Sheni. Uchsiv. Sorry, that's talking about Pesach Rishon. The people that were Tamei Meis because they were, I think the Gemara in Tanis says they were carrying Yosef's bones. So those people were Tamei Meis, therefore they couldn't do the Karban Pesach, and therefore they needed another opportunity to do Pesach Sheni. So Moshe is talking about Pesach Rishon. He's on Pesach Rishon talking about Pesach Sheni, which is interesting because that doesn't tell us anything about Pesach Rishon. That tells us about Pesach Sheni. I guess we make a kavachomer to Pesach Rishon. That if for Pesach Sheni you have to learn it 30 days beforehand, so too, all the more so you have to learn it for the first time where more people are going to be doing Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Lach, and what about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? What would he respond to that argument? So I did the Arabim with Pesach, Masig Lachom the Pesach. Just because he's talking about the halachos of Pesach, that means he's talking about everything about Pesach. He's talking specifically about Pesach Sheni, about the Karban Pesach. But the Karban Pesach and Pesach Sheni doesn't include all Hilchos Pesach. So Gemara says, my time to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, why do you get off saying that 2 weeks is good enough? Shahare Moshe Omid Brosh Chodesh U'Masra Pesach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people about Pesach on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. How do we know? Shenemar HaChodesh Hazeh Alechem Rosh Chodeshim. This month is the first month of the years. Uchziv Dabri Al Kol Yisrael Emor. Be'asor HaChodesh Hazeh V'Yichol Chamish Tzeh Be'Savos. And then he talks about giving, making the Karban Pesach, getting the sheep ready, etc. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Mimai Debereish Archekai. How do you know that that discussion was happening on Rosh Chodesh? Dilmabar Babi Archo. B'cham Shabi Archekai. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them that this is the first month of the year, but it was the fourth of the month or the fifth of the month, talking about what you should do in 5 days from now on the 10th of the month. Who says that was Rosh Chodesh? How can you derive from there that it's referring to 2 weeks beforehand? So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rabba Bar Shimi Mishmei Deravina Mehacha. Rather, they say that the halacha, I assume based on the order of the Gemara, we're trying to justify Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's 2 week period. So they say you get it from here. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana Hashinis b'Chodesh Harishon Uchsiv Vayasub Bnei Yisrael Asa Pesach B'Mo'ado Hachanami Ma'ad Divrei Shear Chakai. So the Gemara says you're making a juxtaposition. Rabbi Bar Shimi says you're making a juxtaposition from Ravina says that you make a juxtaposition between the pasuk which says b'Midbar. The Midbar Bashana Hashenis Bachodesh Harishon in the first month, and the fact that it says, and the Jewish people made the Pesach and its time. So wait a second. And those are two Pesachim right next to each other. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know that that's also the Rosh Chodesh? When it says Chodesh Harishon, that just means in the first month, meaning in Nisan. That doesn't mean that they were talking about it on Rosh Chodesh. So Dilmabar Babi Archo Becham Shabbat Archakai. So Amr of Nachmar Yitzchak Asa Midbar Mi Midbar. We made a juxtaposition when the words, a verbal connection between the words Midbar and Midbar in two different Pesukim. Ksiv HaAcha B'Midbar Sinai. In the second year, and they did it in the first month, B'Midbar Sinai. Uchsiv HaSam, and it says over there, Aydabar Hashem HaMosha B'Midbar Sinai B'Olam Oed B'Achad HaChodesh HaSheni. Right, this is the beginning of Bamidbar, where it says B'Midbar, which is referring to the first day of the month. It says explicitly in Pasuk. Ma lahala and b'rosh chodesh, afkam b'rosh chodesh, both instances take place on Rosh Chodesh based on the word b'midbar. Kind of a loose gzer shava, but gzer shavas are mesorah. We have a tradition from rabbis before us that tell us that these two words are supposed to be connected, so you can't really argue with this. So Gemara says, v'nichto b'resha d'chodesh rishon, v'hadar nichto v'chodesh sheni. Why would it put it in that order? It seems to be out of order, right? The first one should say Chodesh Rishon, and then the second one should say Chodesh Sheni. So Amar of Menashe Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derav Zosamaras Ein Muktam Milchav Torah. There's no order in the Torah. Famous Machlokas here in the Gemara. All the Rishonim basically passing like this statement. The question, however, is when do you apply it? That's what Gemara is going to say now. So Amar of Papa Lo Amron Ella Betray Inyanya Vabachad Inyanya Ma'adim Muktam Muchar Ma'adim Uchar Muchar. As long as you're talking about the same theme, the same concept, the same episode, so then there is always an order in the Torah. You can't say that things happen in random orders in the same episode. However, Di'ilote Mahachi, because if you wouldn't say that things are generally in order when you're talking about the same theme, so then we'd have a problem with the Yud Gimel Midos of Rabbi Yishmael. Klal uprat ein b'chal el mashav uprat. The fact that there's a general statement and then a specific statement is something that we learn from it, that you can only learn the specific. Right, the specific comes to clarify the general, and therefore it has to be in order. So Dilma Prado Chlalu. If it wasn't in order, maybe you could make the case that really the specific came before the general. So obviously within the same topic, it has to be in order. So Gemara says Vesu, and furthermore, Prado Chlal Nasa Chlal Musav Ala Prat Dilma Chlalu Prado. So you could also in that rule of a specific and then a Chlal could be more inclusive of what the Prat is. Right, if it's a specific, then it gives a general phrase, so then that general phrase includes more than just the specific. So you could say that that would also be a klal uprat, that it would be a general then a specific, and therefore you have to say that there is order to the Gemara, so the order to the Torah, at least when talking about the same topic. So we're going to say, if that was true, I feel betraying Nani Name. So maybe you should say that by the same topics too, by different topics too. Two things that are far away from each other. So then you don't say klal uprat by them. So that would make sense that that trei inane could be muktam ein muktam muachar. But Shaper al Alamanda Amar Danyan, but according to the opinion that says that two things that are far away from each other could also be understood as a klalu prat, so ma'iklam emar. You should also say that there is muktam u'muchar, that there is a specific order, even by trei inyane, even by two topics. So when it says, afilamanda amar danin, hani milu b'chad inyana. Even according to the one who says that you can judge a klalu prat from things that are far away from each other in the Torah, even that is, it has to be within the same topic. But if it's a separate topic, so you're not allowed to, make a klal prat if they're two separate. Even according to the opinion that says you can do it far away, it has to be the same topic. But if they're two separate topics, so then you can't do klal prat, and therefore it justifies having a ein muktam u'muchar for that situation. All right, that's a little involved, a little theoretical. Not going to get into the specifics. I feel like that's the type of topic, if I dig in too much, I'm not going to understand it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Habodeg tzarech sheivatel. Someone who's checking for his chametz has to also say that it's completely batel anything else. Rashi says, belibo l'samach l'bedika miyad. Right after, right? This is what we say. We say Kol Chamira twice. We do the Bidika on the 14th, the night of the 14th, and we do Bittul right after we do so. And then we do Bittul again the next morning when we burn it. V'omer Kol Chamira te'ika bebeisi hadin livata. Right? So the Gemara says, wait a second, my time. Why would you do such a thing? Inema mishum perurin, if it's because you're going to think that you missed some crumbs somewhere. Halocha shivi. There's no obligation of chametz with crumbs. Tell your wives, tell your daughters, tell your cousins, tell your neighbor's dog's former owner. There's no obligation to get rid of crumbs. You don't have to push away the cabinet if you're an old person. You don't have to hire workers to dissemble your whole entire refrigerator and get into the nooks and crannies inside the motor. There's no obligation. You get a mitzvah for doing so, but there's no obligation for doing so. So the Gemara says here, so why are we doing bittul after bedikah? The crumbs aren't important enough to be in violation of chametz. So and therefore you don't need to do bittul. So Gemara says v'chi tema, and maybe you're going to tell me the kevan dimintar luha gav beisei chashivi, the fact that they're protected in your house vatanya makes them important. Vatanya sofitena mishamar sadeum imdeyadavim, that when it comes to leftover figs at the end of the season, so those are ownerless also. Sadeum ibn Anavim, however, Mishamar Sadeum ibn Anavim, Sofe Anavim, Mishamar Sadeum ibn Mikshaos, Mimne Dlos, Bisman Shabbai is Machbid Alayan, when the person is Machbid on them, so then Asur Mishum Gezel. Then, if you care about them, so then it's only that's considered a Gezel if you steal them, Vachayav and Master, and they'd be Achayav and Meister. Bisman Shein Babai is Machbid Alayan, however, if the owner of the house doesn't really care about them, so Mitar Mishum Gezel, Batur Mishum Master, there's no problem for Meister, there's no problem of Gezel, and therefore, so too with the breadcrumbs. It shouldn't matter if they're in your house, if they're on your property. The fact that you don't care about them is enough to say that you're not chayev to get, they're not chayev to mivatal them. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, says Rava, Gezeira Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafa Vedate Lave. It's a Gezeira, coming back to what David was saying earlier. Even if you do Bittul, even if you do Bedika, you still have to do Bittul, lest you come to find it in your house, and you want it, and you want some kind of nice cake, Gluska Yafa. Vedate Lave, you really want to eat it, right? Because there might be something that you missed. Because of something when you miss, you have to do bittul after the bedika. So Gemara says, wait a second, why you have to do it after the bedika? Just do it right away. Do it when you find it in the middle of Pesach. So Gemara says, no, Dilma mishkachas levatzay yisura. Maybe you're going to find it after the Isra already was chal. Maybe it's going to be already on Pesach and there's an Isra chametz, and therefore once there's an Isra chametz, you're not allowed to have it. It's not his. Oh no, the Gemara is now asking a question. The Gemara says, wait a second, if you were mevatel that, hold on, I'm trying to remember this. Hold on. Dilma Meshkachas Le Basri Sura. Maybe you're going to find it after it's Asr to eat Chametz. V'lab Rishusei Kaima. And therefore, it's not going to be considered like in your Rishus. V'lo Matzim Mavatel. You're not be able to Mavatel it. Why can't you Mavatel it when you find it on Pesach? Rashi says, Allah is Eno Shalo. Why is it Eno Shalo?
Because we made it ownerless. It's not, we declared it
not. No, right now we're trying to say that you should make it mevat. I guess this is referring to the second bittel. Is that what it's talking about? I don't remember this. Give me a second. Sorry. Why wouldn't it be in your shus? The Ritva says it is in Hirishas. Yeah, unclear why Rashi says it's not Hirishas or what the Gemara means when it says Lab Yishusei Kaima. Hello, Dashi Velen Vashashi Matsena. Madu Allah Vatu Lelar Basar Lachar Bidikum Shiva Gemara. Dilma Mishkach Le Basar Yisur Velab Yishusei Kaima.
So he says here that once it becomes forbidden to get benefit from chametz, it's considered ownerless because by definition, ownership of an item includes the right to benefit from it.
Or is defined by the right to benefit from it, according to that. Not just includes it.
So hence, one cannot be said to own an item which one may not derive benefit from it.
Yeah, that's one of those tough rules because... there are a lot of things that are usur to get hana from. So does that mean that you don't own them and it's not a problem? Right? Right. This is the kashrus shaila about owning like a McDonald's chain. Right? It's usur and hana, so therefore I don't own it. So then it's not a problem. So I don't know. It gets a little, the logic gets a little circular, but that's what it sounds like from the Masifta also. The Ritva disagrees with that. The Ritva disagrees. He still says you get ownership from it, and he understands it a different way. But either way, because it's us, you're not able to mevatel. To Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shnei Devarim, Einu B'Rishus, Shaladam, Na'asav, Asar, Nakasav, Kilu B'Rishus. So there are two things that are as if they're not in your Rishus, but the Torah tells us that it's as if it's in your Rishus. Ve'elein, Bor B'Rishus, Rabim, V'chamech B'Rishus, Shalos, L'mala, a boar, a pit, which is in the public property. It's as if it's yours, even though it's not in your property. You're still responsible for it in specific situations. And Chametz, after the Isser of Chametz has been Chal, so then the Torah says it's still usser to have it in your property, even though technically it's not yours, based on the fact that it's usser to eat. So the Gemara says, "V'nivatli v'arba v'nivatli b'chamish." Why don't we say do bittul the fourth hour, the fifth hour? Kaven delavz man yisurahu v'lavz man biurahu duma pashu v'nivatli, because it's not connected to any other significant part of the process of the bedika or the biur. So then you're going to forget about it. And you're not going to do the bittul properly.
But don't we also say that the whole reason we have to search is because if we were just mevatel everything, and then you came across this beautiful cake
that you
want to eat, it's like your bittul really didn't work because
retroactively
you weren't really mevatel it.
Yeah,
you didn't really have in mind to be mevatel that.
Right, I think the. I wonder if this.
It would be yours.
Yeah, no.
If someone else saw the cake, they thought it was your cake, or your box of Cheerios you missed. It's more likely to happen.
Yeah, no. I think that's part of what the Gemara was saying before when it said the cake situation, that you're going to undo the. That you're going to. I remember that discussion also. I don't remember where it comes up. I thought it was in the Gemara, so maybe it was the one that we just said, and that was some nuance to it that I didn't pick up on.
One could certainly have in mind, I intend to be mevatel everything, no matter how nice it is, even if I found the best thing. I'm specifically intending... to nullify it, and
right.
I really don't care about it. And a person could presumably have that effect.
Yeah, you could say that, and that's basically what we do say.
The question is, if you do find it then, and then you were to eat it, because you were used to eating chametz all year, and we don't I mean, that's why we're so strict with chametz, as opposed to other things. But if you ate it, doesn't that show lemafreya you weren't really mevatel it?
Right, that's the problem. Even if you would say all the fancy words that you do, which we do say.
Now, if you found it and you sold your chametz, it wouldn't help, because are you selling chametz that you don't know about? Does the contract cover chametz we don't know about? Or only chametz we do know about?
Presumably only chametz that you do know about.
There's one of the statements we say, it does include the word in art scroll, in the mops, that we don't know about.
Well, that's for bittul, that's not for the sale.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, it's not for the sale.
Yeah. So there's nothing you can do about that, I don't think, Leonard. I don't think, like, once you do the bittul, that's the most you can do. If you find something and then you retroactively have a problem with it, so then there's only so much you can do. But the bedikah that we do today is more of a formality.
I have to go for my appointment.
Yeah, all right. Shkach, everyone. Have a good Shabbos. We'll meet tomorrow night at about 6:40, like last week.
Okay.
We'll meet tomorrow.